Tim Laird.
Will.
Hello, Will.
Hi.
Hello, this is Tim.
Is that you, Jim?
Me, Tim.
Hi, Jim.
Martin.
Hi, Martin.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Andrew.
And Bob and Andrew, I heard.
And Bob's here.
Okay. And Bob? Yes,
Bob,
I'm
here.
Yay.
Don's here, too.
Oh, hi, Don.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Somebody have a very noisy background?
Yeah, that was me.
Hey, Jerry's here, too.
Hello, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry.
All right, are we just waiting on Sandy? And Chuck, is Chuck here yet?
Oh, Chuck's here.
Hi, Chuck.
Hello.
So we're just waiting on Sandy, right? Wow, we're punctual tonight.
What about Holly?
Holly's here.
Oh, hi, Holly.
Hi.
Is John Satriano here tonight?
I am here.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Sandy should be joining the call any second because I just got off of the phone with her.
Sandy Brown.
There we go.
There we go. Hello, Sandy.
Yeah. Who's here?
Everybody.
Wee.
Everybody, including Andrew and Chuck and Holly and John Satriano.
And Chuck and Holly, and Chuck and Holly or Chuck Holly?
And both. Uh-huh. And Martin's here. Yep.
John, you there?
John Satriano?
I'm here.
Oh. Yep. So the gang's all here. So let's get this party started. Call the meeting to order at, I have 8:04 according to my clock. And roll call, Kim Laird is here. Sandy Brown?
Here.
Don Lewis?
Here.
Jerry Martin?
Here.
Jim Maxwell?
Here.
Bob Newman?
Here.
Will Penman?
Here.
Chuck Hawley, recording secretary?
Here.
John Satriano, fest director?
Here.
Holly Greeley for Treasury.
Here.
And Andrew Conway, board candidate. Welcome tonight, Andrew.
Thank you.
Did I miss? Oh, and Martin Frost, communications director.
Here.
And did I miss anyone? Okay, got it all. Okay. Did everyone have a chance to take a look at the agenda? I did send it to Board Plus as well as to Andrew. Are there any changes, corrections, or that we need to make to tonight's agenda?
I do have a question. This is Sandy. If we discuss the survey, is that going to be under new business? I don't think it's actually stated.
I have it listed under reports.
Oh, okay.
Only because we had already...
Oh, yeah, you do. Okay, got it.
We had already approved the fact that we're going to do it. It's just the actual questions we needed to discuss.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, yep. All right, if there are no further questions or changes, I'd like the agenda approved by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Okay, if not...
Abstentions?
Abstentions, yes. I did just remember. Okay, if not, the agenda is approved by unanimous consent. Previous minutes of March 23rd. Are there any changes or corrections to be made to that, to the March 23rd board minutes? If not, I'd like that to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the previous minutes are passed by unanimous consent. On to our reports. Festivals, John, anything from you tonight?
Let's see. We're just working on the performer travel arrangements, and Holly got a bunch of invoices today, probably to the tune of $8,500, $9,000, somewhere around there. But we have all the flights for the Europeans taken care of. We also have new guests, invited guests, a German club passing act called Catch the Shoe. We also have Victor E. called me this afternoon. Out of the blue, I had no idea he was doing this, but he approached Guy Laliberté, the president of Cirque du Soleil.
Wow.
And between them, they worked out Cirque du Soleil is going to donate an act for the Cascade of Stars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, wow.
Shut up.
Wow. They're
awesome.
They're going to take care of their hotel and all that. They don't know which act yet. They'll work out, you know, who's available. And
man,
oh, that rocks!
Is this from Corteo?
Well, like I said, they don't know which act yet. They're going to work out who's available, that kind of thing. But it may not be a juggling act, but it'll be a Cirque du Soleil act.
Wow! Awesome.
That's awesome. Great. Nice
and,
job.
And all they want is some, you know, recognition.
Oh, can't beat that price.
Yeah. and in Renegade news, we are finally confirmed at the Millennium. We're going to do shows there Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. They're going to handle seating and tables. They're going to give us a stage, lighting, and sound. We are going to guarantee $1,000 in bar sales each night, and we're talking about doing a fourth Saturday night show, which we discussed at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
The Renegade people want to do it. Millennium cannot give us the Grand Ballroom, which is where we're having our other shows on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
They do have another room upstairs. Keith Nelson from Bindlestiff Circus toured it and approved it for Renegade use. But unfortunately, they just figured out that due to a construction schedule, they won't have air conditioning upstairs during the month of July. They will have air conditioning downstairs in the main ballroom. So I think what we're going to do is pretty much play it by ear. We have the convention center to use as a backup. And if we get there and we happen to have a nice, 70-degree night, we can open all the windows and turn on the fans, and it shouldn't be too bad. Otherwise, we'll just end up doing the Saturday night show over in the convention center.
Okay.
Hey, John, I have a question.
Sure.
The Saturday night after the public show has in the past, generally been when everybody returns to the gym and juggles, into the late hours and then, gets ready to go home the next morning. And having a Renegade show that night really cuts into that because everybody feels usually, especially on a Saturday night, that they're going to, be forced. I don't say forced, but, they don't want to miss something in a Renegade show. And so most people go to it, even, if there's nothing special scheduled for it. So I'm actually against having a Saturday night Renegade show. Because I like to juggle, and some people like to just socialize. So that's just my two cents.
Okay. Yeah, this is Bob. I'm kind of surprised that the Renegades want to do it on Saturday because they were always the ones who started it all, not having it Saturday. But I do think if they think it's a viable alternative and they're for it, probably it might work. One of the other problems we had on Saturday was the Cascade of Stars. There for a while lasted so late that you were getting out of that show and then going immediately to the other one, and it was just or running into it even so like I say, that sometimes happened too. So like I say, it's, but if they think it'll work, I trust their feel on this.
Well, let me remind everyone that we're having the Cascade of Stars on Friday night this year. Did everyone remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
What we are doing is the awards banquet on Saturday. And like I said, as far as I'm concerned, it's the part of the festival that makes me the most nervous as far as how socially successful it's going to be. And it is, I think, a fairly weak note to close the festival on. So I kind of like the idea of having a renegade show. And, you know, if you don't, not everybody will want to go, and not everybody will have to.
I wonder if we can start it a little earlier this year. Like, for example, the awards banquet, I don't know how long it will go. Maybe it's over at 10 or 10:30. Maybe. Mm-hmm. What time does the Renegade start on the other nights, John?
Well, you know, it's always after the the other shows finish. You know, then the Renegade folks get together and get it on stage as soon as they can.
Right.
Tom did request that we do the Saturday night show as early as possible.
Oh, good.
Sure.
Okay, yeah.
This is Andrew. We want to make sure it's late enough that kids aren't attending, or that we can reasonably expect kids not to be attending in case there's any adult material in the show. So that's an argument for having it a bit later.
Right.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any way we can get it started before 11 under any circumstances.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think 11's late enough, but yet it does move it up a little bit because, you know, some people have to leave early in the morning, too, and that's another hold back where they go, hey, you know, I can't go totally without sleep. So,
right.
But, yeah, I, like I said, we could do 11, 11:30 and get it really going by then. I think that'd be great.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nice. And that's about all I've got.
Okay, great, John. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Moving on to finances, Holly.
Okay. First quarter financials have gone out to the board, and an abbreviated version has gone to Alan for publishing and juggle. And, Kim, I assume that the second version that I sent to you was okay to fit?
I'm assuming so because I have not heard back from Alan on it.
Okay. Did anybody not get the financials? I know Martin and Andrew, you probably didn't. Is there anybody else that didn't get them? Okay. I'm going to send them to you, the two of you right now just so you have them in hand. But I don't think there's anything of any real significant interest on the first quarter financials. I will note a couple of things. One is that I recorded the life membership liability at one penny just to get it onto the balance sheet. But the advice that I've gotten in terms of generally accepted accounting principles are that given the nature of our contract right now, the liability really doesn't need to be recorded in the financials and that it really just needs to be in the notes to the financial statements. So it's in there right now for a penny. I may take it out and just put it in the notes. And then the other thing is the archives. We really need to get two things. One is we need to get an inventory of the archives. We need to do that in order to comply with GAAP. In the event that we have our financial statements audited, we can't get a clean opinion of the financials without an inventory of the archives. So that needs to kind of move up the priority list. And then we also need to put a value on them.
Holly, I don't mean to interrupt, but just so you realize, I did talk to Alan just 2 or 3 days ago about that very thing. And he promised me he would get started on the archive information that he has there.
Okay.
So that we can be in compliance.
Okay. And I think the other reason for doing that is that we've been given quite a lot of donated money for that purpose. And so we kind of have an obligation to spend it and get that done. The other thing is we need to put a value on the archives for financial statement purposes. And I started just by recording the acquisition of Mary Wilkins' archives on the balance sheet at cost, and that was $2,500. I know there have been other acquisitions, and I haven't gone back through the records to find out what the cost was on those, but I would like to get those on the balance sheet as well and carry those as an asset at whatever the acquisition cost was. If there were donated archive materials, presumably we would put some sort of value on those as well and record those as a donation and carry that asset on the balance sheet. So that's on kind of my list of things that need to get done, and you'll see the beginning of that reflected in this first quarter financial statement. And that was all I had on first quarter financials. Were there any questions about those before I move on?
No, just an awesome job, Holly.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I sent out today the updated FESP profit and loss budget comparison, just by way of information so you can see where we stand on a cash basis as of today. And I've already sort of talked to John about the fact that we're behind budget on those early registrations, and he seemed to think that that was okay, that probably most of the registrations would come much closer to the FEST anyway. And hopefully that's the case, and if it is, then it's just sort of a mental note so that in next year's budget we can more accurately reflect when that income is going to come in.
Can I comment before you go on?
Yes.
Typically, there's been a rush of registrations just before the early deadline, and that's coming up a week from today, actually. We have, in fact, had a lot of registrations recently. Also, we've been having, as you know, trouble with the store, and some registrations are being processed sort of manually because of that problem. I'm still trying to investigate that with David. So we usually get a vast majority before that first deadline. The deadline is late this year, so people are registering late. And if, I don't know if you're comparing with previous years or just with the budgeted.
No, I just have the comparison to budget. So
as of middle of April or something like that.
Well, as of what I had, the information I had as of this morning.
No, but I mean, you're comparing to a budget what sort of expectation on the budget for?
In the budget that John gave me, there was $44,700 in early adult registrations, which represents 300 adult package plans, and we have 105 as of today.
Right.
So we're about a third of the way there.
And we have 1 week before those are no longer available, or really a couple of weeks with mail-in and all. So we still have time on that, but we indeed may be a little behind. And it's partly hard to tell because of the store issues.
Yeah.
John, I'm sorry if I wasn't totally clear there. I guess most people sign up in the few days before the deadline. So I would expect that the majority of our registrations are going to come in the next week.
Okay.
And that after this deadline is up, we won't expect many more registrations at all.
Okay. So I can expect to be really busy next week is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Holly, I have a question for you, Sandy. I've seen a lot of registrations come through in the last week, and is your analysis based upon up until when?
It is as of today, anything I had payments for as of today. Now, I didn't go through the unsold carts and look to see what was in there. I only recorded in the financial statements purchases that had actually been paid for.
Okay.
I have a question, too. This is Will.
Yep.
This might be a dumb question. Do board members actually have to register? Like, since we get the whole free festival package,
I assume that
we have to, but then I thought, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, I sent out an email, maybe a few weeks ago, explaining the registration process for comp attendees. I will send that to you again. Well, if you didn't get it, did anybody else not get it?
Okay.
I'll resend that to you, Will.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jim. Just FYI, Holly, there will be at least two, maybe three more registration payments that I've received by check since the last transmittal that I sent you earlier in the week.
Okay.
And I'll keep checking the mailbox throughout this week and probably do another transmittal this weekend.
Great.
Also, we usually get a large number of youth registrations just before the deadline. And now this year with the group youth thing, I'm not sure how those are being handled and if they have a later deadline. John, is that right?
They have a later deadline, and I have a volunteer working separately with them.
And typically we have 30 or 40, I don't know, 20 to 35 of those. So there's a substantial number anyway.
Okay, and those will likely be paid for at the festival. Is that right, John?
No, I think their deadline is June 1st, and I would expect most of them to pay by check.
Okay, so those will be going to Jerry or to Jim?
I just have to work that out. I'm not sure who what goes to who, but.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right.
Okay. Anything else on the financials? Any other questions or? Okay. I also put in the email I sent today just an update on what I'm showing for membership renewals year to date, and this includes the multi-year memberships that were paid for in prior years for this year. So I guess, Jim, this is for you, just a gut check to see if my numbers look like they make sense compared to the database. I had 537 adult memberships paid for year to date, 45 youth, and 116 additional family members. And that's, again, as of this morning.
Okay, I'm not sure what to compare that to. I mean, this is my first cycle.
Okay, I don't know what information is available out of the database, whether you can get a report that shows how many renewals you've had year to date, or I don't know.
That's kind of problematic. I mean, we just have an expiration date on each membership record, so I can tell which members are current and which are not. We have a notes field where I try to record, you know, if it's a renewal or if it's a new membership. And so I guess I'm wondering where the number you got is coming from.
From the financial statement, it's just the number of memberships paid for.
Okay, so it's not necessarily renewals. That could also be new memberships.
That could be new memberships.
Okay,
yes.
All right, I see.
Was 537 your total, Holly? Did that include the 45 youth or separate?
No, that was in addition. So it was 537 okay. Adults, 45 youth, and 116 additional family members.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what the Sullivans are doing. I'm starting to put even more, or trying to put more detail on the transmittal sheets as to whether or not it's a membership renewal or if it's a new membership
okay.
and that sort of thing. I don't know if that information is helpful or at what point, you know, we can use that information, but I'm trying to at least include it there.
Okay.
I think, this is Bob, long range, I think it would be nice to know the difference between renewals and new, because we have an argument, you know, pretty much, or, you know, a hypothesis that, you know, there's a hardcore that always renews and just stays there, when in effect we could be losing several hundred every year and getting several hundred new members every year, and we just don't realize that.
Right. And and then you get into the issue of lapsed memberships.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
they
exactly.
go several
yeah.
months. Sometimes they go, usually if it's less than a month, then I will just continue it
sure.
without a break. But if it's, you know, more than a month, then I'll.
Yeah. I mean, but I think, you know, because we keep talking about business plans and long range plans and all stuff.
Right.
But it would be nice to know. I mean, because my gut feeling is some people after 4 or 5 years drop out, and we get some new people for 4 or 5 years, and then they drop out. You know, it's just, and, you know, like I say, it would just be nice to know. Yeah, I know we've got a hardcore that just will stay no matter what, but it would be nice to know if we're losing those, you know, old hardcore members, if they stay a year and don't like it. You know,
we're starting to drift into a whole different area here, so.
Right.
Okay.
I'll continue to report these numbers from the financial statement perspective just so that we can keep an eye on it. And this leads me into the next thing on the email I sent out, which is the store problems. I don't know if we're going to talk more about those or whether, Martin, you're just going to keep pursuing those issues.
No, I think we should talk about them more when the store report comes up.
Okay. One of the reasons that I want to keep reporting these membership numbers and the FEST numbers, et cetera, is to make sure that we're not losing purchases through the store problem. So then the last thing on my report is that we need to upgrade our version of QuickBooks because Intuit is going to stop supporting this version at the end of May, which means I won't be able to invoice customers online anymore. So I'll take care of that. It's probably a couple $100. And that's all I've got.
Okay, fantastic, Holly. Good job once again.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you indeed.
Holly.
Jim, we kind of glided into membership there a little bit. Is there anything additional that you have?
I'll just give the usual number that our membership, current membership records are, is 1705, and I think that's down by about 15 from last month. But that kind of fluctuation tends to happen pretty regularly, so I'm not overly concerned about that. I do have a couple of other things. For one thing, I'm not sure what has triggered it, but the last 3 or 4 days I've gotten numerous renewals by phone, which is fine, but all of a sudden the phone is ringing off the hook, it seems like, compared to previously. But
Jim, can I ask you a question about that?
Uh-huh.
Did any of those people say they had trouble with the website renewing on the store?
No.
No.
No,
okay.
They just called and said, can I do this by phone? And I'm like, sure. I have gotten, you know, a few emails of people that were frustrated by the website and asking if there was another way, and then I give them the phone number and they call me. And that
would you, when you get someone renewing by phone, would you just ask them as a routine question, had they already tried by using the store? I'm not trying to get you to,
sure,
to push them onto using the store, but I want to do a survey of all of those people who call you, because I want to find out if there's more problems that people are not reporting.
Sure. And then one of those that I got was just this morning, and I just wanted to make sure that this was okay. I told him that it was okay. He was in the service, active duty, and he got back, and his membership lapsed last May, and he wanted to renew for 2 years and make it retroactive so he could receive the magazines since then. And I told him I didn't think that would be a problem. So I'll just email Sandy the information, and if you could send him those back issues.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And then I've got at least 4 people, maybe more. I haven't gone through all of my emails today, but people that are saying they still have not received the spring issue of Juggle and their membership.
Oh, yeah.
Current.
Lots of them, and there's just a lot of people that haven't received their issue.
So I don't know at what point we want to go ahead and send them a new issue.
I say we send them out. I don't know what the cause of this is. I'm a little concerned that this will happen continuously and that we'll have some problems with Juggle Vision, for example, but I don't think we have any choice but to send them out, because really feel like the number one thing we need to do is give people good service.
Sure, and that leads to my next question for Andrew, is how will Juggle Vision be sent? Will that be first-class priority, or will it be bulk rate?
This is Andrew. It's going out bulk rate to save money, so we will be, you know, we expect some of them won't get through, and we'll have to send out replacements.
Right.
For that way.
And so, like with the magazine, when they have placed a mail forwarding with the U.S. Postal Service, they don't actually forward those. They send the labels back to us. So I wonder how that's going to be handled by USPS with people that have placed a forwarding address. I mean, they destroy the magazines and just send us the labels. What are they going to do with the DVDs?
They'll probably just destroy the DVDs.
Do they give you the new address, Jim?
Yes.
Good.
And they charge us 75 cents for it.
Right.
But they do send that to us.
We may have to make a concerted effort to tell people online, in an email or in the newsletter, if you have not received your Juggle Vision, then to, you know,
sure.
I'm going to send out replacements. So.
Okay. And speaking, while we're still on Juggle Vision, I've had several people that have renewed recently because they want Juggle Vision, but we have already generated the labels for Juggle Vision. So I've got a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I think actually 6 with this phone call that I got today. And so, Sandy, you are going to be sending out issues of Juggle Vision, or should I contact Alan Plotkin for that?
Well, I'm going to send out replacements. And I'm going to handle store and store orders and replacements. And
okay.
It's still to be decided, but probably I would assume Alan would be sending out any of the bulk orders. I know, I think, Don, didn't we get a bulk order from you?
Yeah, I've arranged for the bulk orders that we've received so far to be shipped direct from the replication house.
Oh, okay, excellent. Okay, so Andrew,
change the number that they have down for you. and increase that, and I'm going to remember to do that. But that
good. Okay. Yeah, I think I had originally said 25, and that won't be nearly enough. And I would probably take 75 to 100.
Yeah, I'll get them to send you 100.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'll send those out.
I think part of the issue is we just didn't give them enough of a heads up when Martin sent out his notice saying, you know, be sure to renew so you don't miss Juggle Vision. A lot of people just did not get that in time. And same with the newsletter. They just either didn't read the newsletter in time or didn't
right.
get the message in time. And so they called to renew saying, can I still get the Juggle Vision? So I'm telling people yes, simply because.
Oh, sure.
Yeah definitely.
Do that. Let's see, a couple of other things. I got a letter from the Jones Center in Arkansas for their Juggle Fest, thanking us for the donation of DVDs. And just for a, I guess, you know, this is since they're a 501c3, just like we have to acknowledge gifts, they do too. So should I send this to you, Holly? Would you be the one to keep?
Yeah.
Keep that?
And also, just Sandy, those were videos that you sent out?
Yeah, they actually sent two letters, one to the International Jugglers Association and one to Sandy Brown.
Okay.
And so I'll...
Yeah, so pass that on to me. And, Sandy, anytime you send out videos as a donation or, you know, for a fest giveaway or whatever, you should just shoot me an email.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, I've been sending a lot out lately, and I haven't done that, Molly.
Okay,
so,
that's okay. We'll capture those at the end of the quarter if you didn't send me the email, but just going forward,
sure.
Shoot me a note.
John, I'm the one that sends that information to Sandy, so from now on I'll just copy you, Holly.
That would be
great. Oh, great. Thanks, John.
Okay, and I've gotten two letters from the United States Postal Service saying that our nonprofit standard mail rate mailing privileges have been approved effective 3/26/07, and that we're authorized to mail at nonprofit standard mail rates at Dallas, Texas.
Right.
Who should I forward these to?
I would like a copy of that, please.
Okay.
Andrew.
And Holly's been keeping our official government papers. So.
Yeah, I can just scan this. Actually, I can scan the letters from Arkansas as well. And then I got one festival registration on the brochure page that was sent to me. I will send that to Jerry. And then I got a certified mail for Kim Laird from Broadcast Music Incorporated. I just got this today, so I will be forwarding that to you.
Okay.
And you'll know what that is.
I have no idea what it is at this
That's
moment.
That's BMI.
Yes,
isn't it?
BMI, uh-huh.
Okay.
It's a copyright, you know, managing company.
Okay.
So, and I think that is all I had to cover.
Nice stuff, Jim.
Yeah, very good. We seem to be crossing over into a lot of boundaries today, but that's okay.
John, let me interject and ask how the magazine not being received by everyone affects our deadline. We moved the deadline way down the line, basically just for this purpose, and still not everybody has gotten their magazine.
Well, were they all
a big problem?
Were they also sent the brochure, or was that just expired memberships that that we sent those to?
The brochure was in the magazine, and it was also sent separately to expired members.
Okay, and also one more note about the expired membership. I had just started getting those returns last month's meeting. We are now up to about 450 of those that came back, and only about 50 of them had forwarding addresses. The rest of them were unable to forward. So,
you've cleared those bad addresses from the database, I assume?
No, I've not yet done that. But
you will be doing that?
I do intend to do that, yes.
So we don't send them again?
Right.
I think, John, to answer your question, that what we do is if somebody specifically says, oh, I wanted to register and get the early bird, but I didn't get my magazine, I think we can accommodate them. I don't think they know anybody for that. Does anybody disagree?
No. This is Kim. I have a feeling that anyone who gets their magazine on or shortly after the April 25th deadline is liable to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, you know, I just got my magazine today. Can I still get in on this?
Yeah. I'm sending probably a dozen out tomorrow morning with replacement magazines, and that should give somebody time. And if it doesn't, if they said they just got their replacement magazine, I don't think it's a problem.
Yeah.
We may, in fact, because of the store problems, and depending on whether we get a huge rush next week, we may, in fact, need to delay the deadline even further.
Right.
And I don't. And John, I assume you don't have a big issue with that.
No, that's pretty much why we picked the 25th, so that we could still give it a few more days and still stay within April.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And it isn't like they haven't been reminded in the newsletter occasionally.
Well,
true,
right.
True.
Those with email addresses.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, is that it, Jim?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, wonderful job. Store, Sandy.
Oh, my God, I'm going to have a heart attack with the store.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I wish Scott Seltzer was here right now. Okay, I'm going to actually pass this over to I don't have a lot to report because any of the technical difficulties, we're having a lot of problems with the store.
Mm-hmm.
And Holly and Martin are trying to get on top of this. From my end of things, we're starting to get in World Juggling Day T-shirt orders, which is awesome. We have about 20 of them so far. Things are coming in a little bit more steadily. I've noticed a lot of, things are coming through. People are starting to order EJC06 a little bit more. I've had a few more orders for those lately, Andrew, so that's good. But let's turn this over to so we can talk about the problems. Holly and Martin.
Martin, I'll let you address this just because you've got the technical know-how and I don't.
Yeah, the problem, there are a couple of problems. There's at least one problem we know of in the store, and that is that not all store purchases get logged by the store. They may go through, they may cause a payment to be made by PayPal, through PayPal, from the buyer to us. And so the PayPal log shows the payment, and so we notice that. In fact, Holly finds those and associates them with store orders and occasionally finds that there is no store order for someone who's sent us a payment through the store, through PayPal. So that's the first problem we're looking at. And the second problem, which may or may not exist, is there are a lot of store unsold carts. And these may be represent people that just started to buy something and didn't finish the process, but they may also represent people who couldn't figure out how to finish the process and wanted to, or people who think they finished the process and in fact didn't, or actually did finish the process, but the store didn't actually record it. So there's a number of possible reasons for those unsold carts in the store, and I'm trying to contact a few people to find out what's happened with, in their particular cases. And Holly has contacted a couple by email. We don't have anything firm yet to figure out what's going on, but we're following up on that. The suggestion even is that we may have been losing members because they put in a store order for membership and we never saw it because it didn't get processed into a PayPal payment, which we would see, nor into a store order. So if they're just stuff left in unsold carts, those, as far as I can tell, get purged from the store after 2 months. So we can't even look back and see how many of those we might have bought.
Yeah, I think it's 30 days.
Yeah, or yeah.
60 days, I believe, at least. But
it's
isn't
better
it?
Than that now, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's 60 days.
The report, though, that I can look at only goes back 30 days. So even though they may be there, I can't see them beyond 30 days.
That's the same
okay.
for me as well.
Okay, maybe it's 30 days. I thought it was 60 days, so my mistake. At any rate, I assume those are actually purged from the store, not simply hidden from that report that gets shown. If they're just hidden, then we could possibly go back and find them. David could probe the database and find those sorts of things, and we can look into that. But first we need to figure out why they're there, and so that's what we're working on, and it's a difficult process.
Martin.
As far as I can tell, this has been the case since the new website came into being almost 2 years ago. And I guess last year nobody really followed up on this, either that or it wasn't. I mean, it's been reported by Joyce that it was happening then, too. I don't know if it was happening to the same extent. Well, there are two different problems I'm talking about, but at least the one with store orders not getting logged in the store but going into PayPal was happening last year. The other one may or may not have been happening, may or may not be happening now, so it's not a good situation.
Either Martin or Holly, have either of you received any feedback from people that you've contacted with unsold carts or with potential problems? They responded?
I haven't gotten anything terribly concrete. The couple of people that have responded didn't indicate that anything unusual happened. And Tim, who responded today, and I had asked him to go and try and complete his order, said he couldn't do that without generating another PayPal payment, so he didn't want to do it, understandably.
I don't think it would have done any good if he had. It would have just generated another order. I mean, it might have generated another bad order.
Yeah, I don't know.
But
so one of the things we discussed, well, we didn't discuss, but this morning I sent an email about, or yesterday I sent out an email suggesting that we need to have a person. Mm-hmm. Martin and Holly and I don't have time to call people in unsold carts to make sure they haven't slipped through the cracks. So is this something that we need another volunteer to make these calls?
Well, Kim had offered up that she would make those calls. Are you still on board for that, Kim?
Yeah, I don't think you should do that. I feel like the board, the chair, should not be making calls to do this type of thing.
It also needs to be someone with a relatively good technical background to understand, what the process has been and where it could have gone wrong.
Well, that leaves me out, Bob.
Well, perhaps we...
No, Bob, you're perfect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, nothing. Yeah.
Perhaps we need a short article in the next newsletter saying, does anybody understand OS Commerce?
Can I ask why we changed to OS Commerce? Why did we get away from whatever we were used before?
Good question.
You can ask.
It was open source.
Well, what we were using before was our own software, which basically Andrew initially created and that I heavily modified and, you might say, I won't say perfected, but tailored to our needs over the years. And it wasn't fancy, but it didn't have this problem, and we knew how it worked.
Go ahead, Martin. You can say you perfected it.
Okay.
Did a lot more work on it than I did.
Was it lacking something that OS Commerce offered us?
Polish.
Uh-huh.
Basically. On the other hand, it did work. I've thought about the fact that we could possibly go back to that that system. OS Commerce offers, some things that system didn't, various reports that it does. On the other hand, it's not logging all the purchases. So,
is this a problem that we're just too far behind in the version of the software we're using?
I
sort of doubt that. I mean, if that were the issue, then this problem would have been happening all along, and maybe it was. Maybe it's fixed. Who knows? My impression is that it hasn't gone on that far beyond the version that we have, but first problem is we don't quite know what version we have because it was installed. I'm not sure if it was installed by Dave or by Ron Harvey, Dave Davis or Ron Harvey.
It was Dave. I think Joyce mentioned to me that this was something that she and Dave, maybe we need to contact one of, Dave or Joyce about this. I don't know.
The current website currently offers OS Commerce as a sort of package, and I don't know if it's a slightly later version or something. It might be a good idea. I mean, one possibility is to reinstall it from scratch. And but the problem with that is we have to configure it with all our store items and all this stuff all over again. And during the process, we might be down for a week or I don't know how long that would take. Yeah. And of course, right now is not a good time for that.
Right. Is it not possible to reinstall it sort of in the background while we keep the current version up and running?
I think that's possible. That's entirely possible as long as we keep the two, separate directories on the website.
Yeah.
And then move the newly reinstalled one, latest version or whatever, there may be some issues that we would have to resolve about changes in the, you know, changes resulting from the version update, but hopefully not too much. I mean, I just don't know. It's probably a good idea to get the OS Commerce updated, you know, assuming we're not going to roll back to the old version that I ran on the old website.
I just have one comment, and like I say, not knowing anything about technical side, but I know, you know, I've ordered enough all over the internet that, you know, you can leave and major businesses shopping carts empty. Do they have the same kind of problem? I mean, there must be some system or out there to take care of this, because I realize that, you know, some of them that are empty, we believe aren't going through. But I mean, I'm probably guilty on the IJA website of looking at things and then having a problem with PayPal and just leaving it. You know, so I mean, I've got a cart there.
Yeah, that cart doesn't cause any problem if you deliberately abandon it. There's no problem. It just shows up.
Right, but I mean, but we don't know if they had a problem or not. I mean,
exactly.
How do other businesses handle this? That's my question. I mean, no.
I think other businesses, you know, have staff to make sure that there are no problems, and.
But I mean, it's a technical thing. I mean, because I know Amazon's not calling me when I, you know, put a movie I think I'd like, and then I get called away from the computer and just
of
leave
course,
a lot.
They don't,
you know,
they don't expect there's a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that most sites don't have a problem. And
okay.
I don't even know if we do have a problem.
Oh, okay.
In unsold carts, I know we have a problem of purchases not being recorded.
Okay.
We may also have a problem in unsold carts, and we may have some people who get confused by the PayPal, you know, process.
Sure.
The reason that I think that it goes further than just people sort of abandoning their order and deciding they don't want it is because of the magnitude. I mean, if you look at the last 30 days in unsold carts, there's 25 memberships sitting there.
Yeah.
And that's just too many.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you're right, yeah.
And there's quite a few festival packages as well.
Yeah, I agree. It's probably is a problem. It's hard to tell, though, if those people just decided they didn't like PayPal or couldn't figure out how to use PayPal, or if there was actually some bug that kept them from using PayPal. I mean, we've had people, of course, who said, you know, they wanted to send us a check and they didn't see the address to send the check to, but
right
there.
Yeah,
so
last
we know
week.
People don't always see what's there. On the other hand, this is sort of too many for us to have happening.
Well, and it's also problematic that even if they do follow up with a check, but if I find their order in unsold carts, I can't do anything with that unsold cart.
You have to confirm with them what they wanted.
Right.
Right.
I can't even look to see exactly what the order was. All I can see is, you know, their email address and the date that they thought they placed the order.
You can see what's in the unsold cart. You can see exactly what's in it.
I haven't figured that part out then.
Just keep clicking on it.
Okay.
Just keep clicking on that particular one. It doesn't, you know, you still have to contact them because we don't know that unsold cart is what they wanted.
Sure, sure.
But it may give you some clue.
Right.
So what do we want to do about this?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps the first thing to do is to put a banner page on the store saying, if you have trouble, call or write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
Especially at this time of year for us with all the fest registrations and that.
I also, in replying to a couple of people's questions, it just seemed like today I got a whole bunch of emails from people saying they had problems. And I wrote up basically a full description of how you buy something on the store. I mean, it's a long process. You click here, 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 go to PayPal, click here, here, here. So I'm thinking that a couple of pages or one page like that with that information on the store for people who are just totally lost, you know, someone who's 90 years old and is buying a membership. I mean, I had emails from someone who's like 80, mm-hmm. and that sort of frequently asked question type thing, or just the process, the exact process to follow, sort of a cookbook thing, might help some people.
Well,
it's not going to help for those people that run into some bug, you know. But
and Martin, helps. If they have problems, just have them call one of us. I mean, you know, we'll take care of them.
Yeah.
And also, in terms of just putting a banner on the website, shouldn't they expect some sort of confirmation if their order goes through? I mean, can't we tell them if you don't get an email confirmation, then your order may not have gone through? You might want to call somebody.
Exactly. Exactly. That's true. And I'm pretty sure that they don't get that email.
Right.
I mean, I've been asking that question. I don't ever seem to get an answer. that, but I don't think they do get the PayPal email when the PayPal payment goes through. But if the PayPal payment goes through and our order didn't get recorded, they don't get an email from us, as far as I can tell. So, yeah, that's another thing we can mention there. We need to get all that information out there without overwhelming people and making it, you know,
right,
too hard to understand. And we don't want to scare people away and say, oh, it's going to be real hard to use our site, mm-hmm. even though it may be a little problematic.
Jerry Martin?
We need to get it fixed.
Go.
Do you need to learn how to change the statuses on the, or what's the plural of status, stati? Do you need to learn how to do that?
Last year, I think a guided review would be really good for me.
Okay, let me know when you want to do that, and I'll walk you through it.
Okay, I'll let you know by the end of the day tomorrow when we can
sure.
do that.
I'll be in Houston over the weekend.
Okay.
But, by the way, everybody, this long weekend, so, but...
Not the weekend,
just
then?
Contact me, and I'll walk you through it.
Okay. Thanks,
and just so that, Sandy, just so you and Jerry both know this, there are, it seems to me, more statuses possible, status values possible than there were a year ago. So Jerry may have a little different process. This particularly applies to orders that include festival registration, membership, and merchandise. When they have two or three of those things, then they're different possible versions
That's
of the status.
That's right. We've added some.
Right. So Jerry just needs to know about all of those and how to do that.
Okay.
I'm sure you can explain that.
Sure.
Okay. Anything more dealing with the store? Martin, you'll take care of getting some sort of post together to put on the web page?
Yeah, I'll work with David on that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And or Scott. I'm not sure who can do it.
The e-newsletter, Don.
Well, it keeps on going. Occasionally we get some feedback. There was a very brief piece on marketing in it on the last one, and I believe we got at least one response. So that's not particularly encouraging in terms of getting feedback.
Right.
On the other hand, apparently it does go out.
And it looks wonderful, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. So,
thank you. I was thinking it might be useful to put some kind of wording at the bottom of it saying that juggling clubs are free to redistribute it if they wish.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Anybody that isn't free to redistribute it? I mean, can we just say anybody can redistribute it?
We could do that. I think it just should be redistributed in its entirety. We don't want people just cherry-picking bits and pieces off it.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be hard to. It'd be easier for them to redistribute it in entirety anyway, since it's a PDF file.
That's right.
It's a good idea.
So should we have a brief article about the store and encouraging people to keep trying?
Yeah, that was something I was just about to suggest anyway, is we should put something in the newsletter as well about the store.
Okay.
But if there is a problem, you know, the phone number is right there for them to call.
Mm-hmm. And who's going to write that up?
Well, Martin, do you mind doing that as well, since you already have the information in front of you?
Yeah, I'll do something.
Thank you.
I don't have anything specific to talk about the newsletter.
When's the next newsletter going to go out?
Beg your pardon?
When's the next newsletter going to go out? May, I assume.
Towards the end of May.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Don. And member survey is next on the list. There's been a lot of discussion on this on the forum, which is a good thing. A lot of good input going on. And I took the questions yesterday and reorganized them so that they were somewhat in groupings, besides just the demographics information. John, did you happen to hear anything back from Lynn?
Yeah, she looked it over this morning and gave it a thumbs up. She said, yeah, it actually looks really good right now.
Okay, cool.
I got an email back from my sister, Gail, and she had some comments, and I got back from work about 6, so I haven't had even a chance. I looked through it briefly, and she said she did detect bias, and it's, she gave me some examples. I'll pass all of that on to you all. She had a couple of comments here and there, which I think will be good. You know, I feel as though we have a lot of good feedback coming in, like from Steve Ron.
Mm-hmm.
I still think we're about a week away from thinking that we're completed on this. I think we can still hone in on making improvements.
I was actually going to say a week or two. I was going to shoot for sending it out, and I was going to suggest to everyone that we maybe shoot for sending this out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, don't
we're not going to have juggle vision by
right.
then.
Well, that was the other problem. I shouldn't say problem, but, you know.
End of May.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can still fine-tune and tweak it, I think. I'm not sure why Sean Haddo thought we were sending it out before Juggle Vision. You know, just got a post on that. But yeah, I think we're doing. I think this has really been one of the more productive, projects we've done with trying to include everybody. And you know, of course, we won't have the ideal situation where everybody gets to have their own survey. But I think it's very. I think it's good. And I think we should just continue on it for the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, I'm happy with the way it's taken shape.
I've heard a couple of comments about demographic questions. My sister thought they should go in the beginning. As Kim, who thought else?
It was actually Lynn who had suggested that they.
Right.
I think it was Lynn that had suggested not putting them at the beginning.
Yeah.
Am I right, John?
No, I don't remember that. Yeah.
Okay, maybe it was someone else then.
Might have been Don.
I think it was not Don, was it you?
But, you know, they can go anywhere. They can easily right. be put in the beginning. And
Yeah.
I just don't want this survey to become too long.
Yeah. I think we need to
because we're approaching a maximum here
exactly.
Now. We're at 24 questions.
Right.
Originally, I really had only planned for it to be 20 questions, figuring that was something that everyone could keep focused on for that amount of time. But 25 isn't even bad. So if we need, you know, I really would not want to go above 25 questions on a questionnaire.
Yeah, I posted.
John, oh, I'm sorry.
Huh? Sorry, John, go ahead.
I just wanted to remind Lynn keeps reminding me that the most important thing about the survey is not to suggest anything to anybody, but to give people a chance to tell us what they actually want from the IJA.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
I posed a question to Kim yesterday regarding speed survey, and I wonder if we should consider having speed survey. We're going to send this out electronically, but then we do miss how many members? 400.
400 and roughly 400, maybe a little few more.
Should we consider paying them to send this out and monitor other responses from people who do not have email?
I don't think so. This is John. Just for the reason that e-surveys are very easy to complete and return, and paper surveys are a pain in the neck, and we're likely to get very few of them back.
Yeah.
I have to agree with John. This is Bob. Yeah, I mean, it's, it's like when I bought a new car, that first survey, I don't mind filling out, but, you know, about the third one or fourth one they send you,
mm-hmm.
it goes in the garbage. I love the car, but, you know, hey, buddy, I don't have time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think people, you know, and, I mean, they haven't bought anything that they want to tell you how great it is, so it's like, So I'm not so sure that's a good investment.
And some of these people who have not given us an email address to reach them at may not want email. there are at least a dozen people on the list that I mailed out, that I mailed the e-newsletter to, that I know for a fact they have an email address because I have it sitting in my address book.
Mm-hmm.
However, they haven't responded by giving us their the IJA, their email, I should say. So,
Pam, if those are friends of yours, would you feel pushy if you simply sent them a simple email and said, hey, do you want to receive our e-newsletter online? You know, just send them a personal message saying...
Actually, I just did that first thing this morning.
Okay.
It took me a couple days to get to it after mailing out the e-newsletters, but I did finally get around to it and sent them out first thing this morning. So hopefully I'll hear back from them soon. I didn't check my email yet tonight, so there may be emails sitting there for me. So hopefully that makes a difference. But, yeah, any comments or that about the survey now? Anything, that, or should we just move on and continue the discussion in the forum?
In the forum.
Okay.
Forum. Yeah.
Sounds good. Jerry, I have an affiliates thing here. Do you have any information going on about the affiliates?
I do not.
Okay. All right.
This is Jim, and I recognized that that Jerry is getting slammed right now with
right.
with registration. I did get a request from RIT Juggling Group. They wanted to send out the postcard. I'm assuming we are still offering that as a benefit to affiliates, letting them basically send it out on our bulk rate system. But right now the only one that knows how to do that is Rick Pertee. So I was able to call him, and he graciously agreed to do it. But at some point we need to, if we're going to continue offering that as a benefit to affiliates, we need somebody else to be able to take that over.
Okay.
This is Andrew. I know how to do it. I was the one who set that up originally, so I can look at my notes and teach someone else how to do it.
That would be great if you can send me your notes on how to do it. I would be able to possibly do that. I don't expect that there's going to be a huge demand between now and the festival, but at least after the festival, I could, if we get any such requests, I could probably take that on.
Okay. Well, I'll if I can find my notes, I'll send them to Board Plus so everyone has a copy.
Sure.
That'd be great.
And if you don't, I mean, we can just wait until somebody else requests it, and then I'll contact you, and if you can't find it, then I can maybe beg Rick Pertee again.
You should.
Okay.
Jim, you may be getting a request rather soon from the Reading Jugglers Club for their June Juggle Fest.
Wasn't Mike doing this for a while?
I thought he was, but when I approached him about it, he knew nothing about it. And then I contacted Rick Pertee, and he said, no, Mike wasn't doing that, that it was him that was doing this.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you much. And World Juggling Day is on here, but Don is not here. So we'll skip that for the night if no one has any objection to that. And move on to continuing business.
Hey, Kim.
Yes.
This is Holly. Can I just back up for 1 second?
You sure may.
I have not taken care of getting the financial statements posted on the website, and I know that the magazine is going to refer to those. So I just want to make sure that they get put up there so that everybody can see them.
Oh, okay.
The full set of financials.
Do you want me to send those to David, or do you want to send them directly?
I would love if it came from you.
Okay, I will send them.
Thank
I will
you.
Send them tonight.
Okay, great. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. All right, under continuing business, item 6A, we need a motion that the IJA spend $40 to set up an Amazon Advantage account and start selling Juggle Vision and other future IJA DVDs through Amazon.com. This will be on a trial basis and will be reviewed in 1 year. We need a second on this, please. Actually, we need a motion first.
This is Jim. I move.
Okay.
Second. Don, second.
No, neither.
And any discussion? No discussion. All right.
I think, this is Holly, I have a question. I think we talked about this before, but I don't recall what the answer was about how the inventory is handled. Does a bulk shipment get sent to Amazon for filling orders? Or?
This is Andrew, yes. We ship 5 copies to Amazon. As they sell those, they will send us money if they sell those. And, you know, when it gets down to 2 copies or something, they tell us to send them some more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions from anyone? Comments? If not, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, the motion passes by unanimous consent. Okay. Under new business, item 7A, we have a motion that Philip Grieve be approved as chief teller for the 2007 IJA elections. Do we have someone to make the motion?
Don moves.
And a second?
Sandy seconds.
Any discussion? If not, I'd like this to pass by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? Did I hear someone?
Yeah, I just remembered reading something. Do we have a plan for the, I think Martin sent out an email, a plan for the collection of mail-in ballots?
This is John. I got in touch with the...
I'm sorry, you're out of order.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You're in the middle of a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah.
Someone was asking a question.
It's a relevant question, but not at this instant.
Okay. Yeah, we can tackle that after the vote on Philip. Anyone opposed? Any abstentions? If not, this passes by unanimous consent. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Now we can go with the question. Is that correct?
Go ahead, John.
I spoke to my representative at the Twin City Quarter Management Company, and she basically told me they're willing to do it, but she wanted to have a discussion with everybody as to whether it could be done securely enough, you know, whether they could absolutely assure us that they will collect every single ballot and store them securely. So she hasn't gotten back to me on that yet, but sounds like they're willing to do it.
She wants to have a discussion with their people?
Yes.
Not with us. Okay.
Correct. Right. In other words, I told her that, you know, every ballot has to be, you have to assure us that every ballot is collected and that they're stored securely and that no one from the IJA has access to them except the chief teller during the festival. And she said, you know, she's sure they're willing to do it. She wanted to make sure everybody in the office was agreed that they could do it well enough to assure us of that.
Okay. That sounds reasonable.
On occasion, the security has been as simple as a file folder in a secretary's desk.
Yeah, I think that's what we're talking about. But,
Okay. Anything else that we need to discuss tonight, gang? Nothing else? I didn't miss anything? Okay, if not, next regular meeting would be scheduled, the third Wednesday would be May 16th.
This is Jim. I have a conflict on May 16th.
And this is Don. I do, too.
Okay, how about May 23rd?
Works for me.
Is everyone okay with the 23rd? Okay, the next meeting will be May 23rd, 2007, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Agenda items are due to the board chair on or before the 13th of May. Okay. One last chance. Anybody else for anything? All right.
I'd like to move.
Oh, go ahead.
I'd like to move that the meeting be adjourned.
Yeah, good motion. Okay. Anyone second? Everybody second?
Bauer seconding.
Okay. Meeting is adjourned at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Time by I'd like that to be by unanimous consent. Anyone opposed? It is by unanimous consent. Okay, Yang.
Good meeting.
Yeah. Good job, everybody. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye-bye.